Wrong. High about 40. Close. Clear tonight. Fog patches forming. Low about 20 degrees. Partly cloudy Saturday with a chance of snow afternoon. High above 40 degrees. What's the old trails? And you've been sending them in, so keep sending them in. Jim Madonna will go over them and pick the one that's the best. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a drum roll, Jim. Okay? Your host for the show, Mr. Jim Madonna. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for the fine introduction.
I like that.
Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, folks. We got a lot of great things planned for you today. Of course, this is your show where we discuss prospecting and mining in Alaska from past, present, and hopefully something about the future. Before I launch into the regular program, I have a few thank yous. First of all, I want to thank Michael for the fine introduction that he gave me last week on our initial show. And secondly, I want to thank L and T for the flowers they sent me on my opening program. Of course, this made me feel real good at that particular point. And I guess I'm here to stay, Michael. Now, he lifted his eyebrow and wiped his forehead with
It's okay, Jim. It's okay? Wonderful.
Okay.
No, I love having you here. Go ahead.
Well, it gives you a break.
Yeah.
Michael.
Oh, wake me in an hour, will you? Okay, go ahead, Jim.
I work for the University of Alaska Mining Extension Program. And
you mean you did?
Until I started this show, and now my position is doubtful.
Yes, okay.
When I have introduced myself as the mining extension instructor, Michael sometimes asks me, what's a mining extension?
What is it?
Jim, what is a mining extension? Well, wait a minute. Yeah. Let's make it a little bit more fun.
Okay.
Why should I answer
a
mining extension is?
You got an audience out there.
I got a better idea.
Yeah.
Let's involve the audience in
this. Audience, you're involved.
I got a deal for you.
Don't tell my wife. What?
You, the audience, call
479-8255. That's 8
right here.
479 talk.
But better yet, if you'll call the mining extension office at 474-7702 anytime next week, Monday through Friday, between the hours of 9 and 12:30, my secretary will tell you what a mining extension is.
I'd rather have the audience tell us what it is.
Then if the audience that phones my secretary and gets into this information will phone me here and tell me what a mining extension is, Alaskan prospectors will give each of those people a piece of Alaska placer gold.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding.
Wow.
It's a real deal.
What's
and you
the
can
phone
get
number?
It here.
What?
474-7702 between the hours of 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on Mondays through Friday.
He's going to get some gold and take it home.
Now, hey, Michael, I want to tell you about the prospecting trip that my wife and I took Saturday night.
Wonderful.
What an adventure.
Yeah.
We took a ride out Chena Hot Springs Road. 16 miles out Chena Hot Springs Road, we made our big discovery.
Yeah.
We discovered Two Rivers Lodge.
Wonderful place.
It was housed in a log structure with a solarium attached to it.
Uh-huh.
We entered the building. A cheery chap took us over to our seats next to a window where we overlooked a lake where there was ducks swimming around.
Yeah.
And the lake was bordered by trees.
Uh-huh.
What a setting. What a setting.
I love it.
And, of course, adjacent to the window was a rock garden in which there were several paths and the ducks were waltzing back and forth on the paths doing the entertainment for the evening.
Yes, and
whatever ducks do.
Little sign that's saying you can only hunt rocks with bow and arrow within the vicinity.
Well, Michael, we then took a look at the menu.
Yeah.
And it was surprising the number of entrees that they had there. There were meals dealing with veal and seafood and steaks and chicken. We had to make a decision.
Uh-oh.
What was it going to be?
Big time.
Big time decision.
Big time.
We had to determine whether or not we were going to have seafood or steak.
Or steak.
So we got trapped into the prime rib. Delicious. Delicious.
Good prime rib.
Great prime rib. Other things that they have available there are the appetizers, shrimp cocktails, stuffed mushroom cups, And we settled then on the hot and spicy chicken wings.
Now you're talking
tasty
my
stuff. Yeah. Tasty stuff. And after the meal, of course, we had a big variety of special desserts. And I want to tell you about the famous grapefruit pie. Have you heard about the grapefruit
pie? Jim, no, I haven't.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're looking for interesting...
I had this feeling you were going to let me know what it was about.
If you're looking for interesting and pleasant new tastes, try their famous grapefruit pie.
You got a phone number out there?
I certainly have a phone number out there, Michael.
I'm sorry, Madonna. There, I'm gonna challenge you on this one.
488-6815.
Nobody ever made
Two Rivers Lodge,
nobody
60
ever
Mile
made
Chino
a great
Hot Spring.
Grapefruit pie.
They most certainly did.
I'm going to have to challenge you.
Are you phoning Stasha or Donna?
I'm phoning anybody I can get a hold of.
You want to know about it?
488, what was that? I called. It wasn't there.
488-6815.
I got to try that again. 488-6815.
They're located at 16 Mile Hot Springs Road, Chino Hot Springs Road.
I mean, give me a break, and grapefruit pie.
They do suggest reservations.
How come, did they pay? Here they go. I'm sorry.
We're sorry. Your call.
I hate that guy. Anyways, let's try it again. 488 something something something.
488-6815.
6815. Now, okay, now I'd call that. I know, they're out of business. They gave away the shop. That's somebody else calling there, too. You see, somebody else doesn't believe you about grapefruit pie. What is that, 488?
488-6815.
Grapefruit pie. Give me a break.
Well, also ask about their Two Rivers cheesecake.
Wait a minute, here's somebody calling. Hi, this is Michael. You're on the radio.
Michael, don't bother calling. That grapefruit pie is great.
You mean he's telling the truth?
He's telling the truth.
Wow.
They're probably the only ones in town that make grapefruit pie.
What? Tell me what it's about.
What it's about? Well, it doesn't really look like what you think it looks like.
Yeah.
It more looks like a high white... I don't know. What do you call it? High white puffy thing, you know, with a different colored...
Yeah.
Like the grapefruit in it.
Oh.
It's excellent.
Do you ever get out to North Pole?
I live out that way.
Well, good. You know where Lunge Yogurt is in the Beaverbrook Mall?
I know where it is. I haven't had it.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to have lunch for two for you out there for being the first one to answer a question.
Great.
Spell your name for me.
M-C-G-E-E, Robert. Bob.
Da-da-da. Bob McGee.
And where is that at?
Lunge Yogurt. It's in the Beaverbrook Mall in North Pole.
Yeah,
Lunge. And there'll be a certificate for lunch for you and someone else for two to go out and eat there.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks
right,
for calling. Bye. I guess you were telling me the truth, Jim.
I wouldn't lie, Michael. Not at all.
That was a little bit of a stretcher, though.
Hey, you want to strike it rich?
Gotcha.
Huh? Make a big discovery?
Big one.
Well, let's talk about Tip Top Chevrolet, located at 1916 Cushman.
Yeah.
Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. Giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck.
Huh.
6 years, 60,000 mile limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive, and make us an offer. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, two or four-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal for the best selection and the best prices. Stop in today. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. What do they have?
Grapefruit pies. Grapefruit pies now.
Close, Michael, but they've got the S10 Blazers, the S10 pickups, and the full-size pickups.
Gotcha.
Now, in the S10 Blazers, Michael, maybe you'd like to help me out with this.
Sure.
What do they got?
I don't know. They got engines.
A powerful
2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection. It's a smooth ride with a fully independent front suspension standard. Excellent visibility. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s. And homemade styling with comfort and convenience. All units in stock have four-wheel drive. The S10 pickup, that was the Blazer. The pickup's got a heavy-duty construction, sizes to fit your needs, heavy-duty payload package, fully independent front suspension, hot wax coating, and the entire frame helps fight the effects of road salt and dirt. And there's always the full-size pickup with the electronic fuel injection. That's standard. Now, Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. fleet side or step side box available, crew cab or bonus cab available, gas or diesel, tip top Chevrolet, they got it all.
And remember a safety point, folks, that Robbie always mentions.
Yeah, if you don't drive, you won't get into an accident.
Buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet.
Tip Top says buckle up, right? Purcell says, yeah. Tip Top says buckle up. I still can't see how you can get hurt if you don't drive.
I think it's time for our Alaska Gold Trail Strike It Rich History Quiz.
Okay.
The prize? What's the prize?
The prize is
dinner for two.
Dinner for two.
At Laura's Gold Strike.
Laura's Gold Strike.
It's right across the street from the Daily News Miner.
Right across the street from the church?
Right across the street from the church.
Right by the Big Eye?
Right by the Big Eye.
Big time place. What's the big quiz?
The big quiz. The question is, remember last week we talked about the 1898 gold rush?
Yes.
A bit of history.
Got it.
In 1897, two ships loaded with 80 Klondike Kings with their 3 tons of Klondike gold arrived in the ports of Seattle and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to know is, what is the name of the two ships that brought these Klondike miners down to the lower 48?
The Pinta and the Santa Maria.
Well, while they're talking about that, Michael, let's talk about North Pole Equipment.
Okay.
North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repairs, located at 1 mile on Badger Road from the intersection at North Pole. That's directly across from the telephone company. Jim James wants you to know that if you've got lawnmowers, tillers, 3- and 4-wheel ATVs, and motorcycles that need work, he will repair them. That's right. If you've got a small engine that needs repair, just call Jim at 488-7373 or 488-9339. If you've got some painting or construction to finish before winter arrives, Jim has the equipment you need to get the work done. Whether it's saws, power tools, heaters, generators, pressure washers, loaders, or compactors, North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair will rent you the proper equipment for the particular late summer job. That's Jim James and his wife Jeanette, serving the people of North Pole and Fairbanks with quality small engine repair and equipment rentals at North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair, 3068 Badger Road, across from the telephone company, or call them at 488-7373 or 488-9339.
Okay, give me the question again.
Give you the question again. The question is that in 1897, two ships sailed from Alaska to the ports of Seattle and San Francisco. We want to know what the name of those two ships are.
And there's special prizes for people who even attempted at 479-8255.
And the prize today is dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike.
Yeah, big time stuff. Anyways, and if you even call up and you guess wrong, there's something in it for you too. It doesn't really matter. Just the idea is to guess it. Let's keep going on because that's a hard question.
That is a hard question.
That's not a question that everybody would know.
Because it's a hard question, maybe people would like to know where we get our questions for this particular show.
Where do we get our questions for this particular show?
We get our questions out of Alaskan Prospectors and Miners News.
I have a phone call. Hi, this is Michael. You're on the radio.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
I guess it's always worth a guess, right?
Yeah, give it a shot.
Okay, well, I'll say it was the Yukon and the Klondike.
The Yukon and the Klondike.
Well, close.
Close, but
no cigar.
But I tell you what I do have for you. Wait a minute. Let me grab it over here so I can... Ta-da! At the Sunset Inn. I used to say strip, but it's at the Sunset Inn on October 22nd. Complimentary for two, this entitles the bearer, and we'll put your name in it, to one performance of the Robert Mack Show Thursday night, and he's the hypnotist who was here last time.
Okay, well, I'll pass on that one, Michael.
You don't want to see a hypnotist?
No, I don't know, I'm not into that.
Oh, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right.
Well, all right, thanks,
we'll get something better for you.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. We can't let him go away. How about if we give you a pizza from the pizza pub?
That sounds
now that he likes. Okay.
Of course, I like.
Let me get something.
Anything food, Michael.
I got it. The man after my own heart. Where is something to write it? Okay. Let me have your name. I have to do this on the air so it makes it legal.
I understand. Yeah. This is Steve Spencer.
Aha, Steve Spencer. I got it. Da 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 da. All right, you got it. Pizza
all right.
Pub.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Michael, keep in mind.
This is Michael. You're on the radio. We had a call.
Michael, was that the Alaskan and the Matanuska from Alaska Steamship Company?
The Alaskan and the Matanuska.
From Alaska Steamship Company.
No.
No. But
close.
That was not bad. That was not bad. How do you feel about hypnotists?
Not too good.
Oh, it's another one. Okay. Well, what are we going to do? I have to do a compensation thing here.
Oh, I see.
Once Madonna gets to know what he's doing, he's going to throw me out of here totally. So while I'm here, I'm giving the shop away. Let's see. What can we give him? How about a six-pack of Winterbrook soda from the Pop Shop? Who am I speaking to?
Okay, Bill Tillman. T-I-L-M-A-N.
Okay. T-I-L-M-A-N. Six-pack Winterbrook. You got it.
Okay. Well,
thanks
a lot.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just giving wrong button. I'm just giving the store away, Jim.
Well, that's good, Michael.
Yeah.
Let's talk about import auto body. Would you like to talk about import auto body?
Yeah, what do you
want to
say? I haven't talked about anybody all day. Well actually, I could talk about import auto body. As a matter of fact, it's probably the absolute best time to talk about import auto body. I just have to find import auto body. Yes, thanks, Jim. I was going to do this. I knew what I was doing before I did this. Import Auto Body, 2201 Judd Street. That's right next to the Jade Shop. Remember that, right next to the Jade Shop. Tim Schroeder, ready to serve you at all times. You get free estimates on body work and you also get insurance estimates. Import Auto Body uses the best materials available, and they've got a straighten and align alignment machine that will straighten to within a millimeter of factory specs, and they use the latest technology, and this machine is not limited to imports. Factory replacements, they've got them. Window replacements, they can do it. And restoration, the finest in Fairbanks, featuring famous, genuine Saab parts also. And they've got a urethane primer that will make your car like absolutely brand new. Find a deal on a used import that only needs minor repairs. Take it to Import Auto Body. They can fix it up for you. You have a dynamite-looking car. Import Auto Body, specializing in quality cars. On you, Jimmy.
Michael, let's tell the folks out there how we get the questions for the Alaska Gold Trails.
We steal them. All right, go ahead.
Tess, I get most of the information out of Alaskan Prospectors and Miners News. You can get that particular newspaper free at Alaskan Prospectors at 504 College Road.
Yeah.
So that's one of the areas that you can get that information. And, of course, there's another way that I give the information. Generally, each show, I will discuss a little section of Alaskan history.
Yeah.
And the question will be extracted from that information given on the previous week.
Yeah.
So listen close to the stories on Alaskan history here, and the question will be buried in it the following week.
Well,
we
like
will
that.
Provide the question.
I like that. Did we have that last week?
We touched on it last week.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Hector's Welding.
Okay.
Hector's Welding is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Hector's has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Talk about steel and iron stock for any job you have. Hector has 600 to 800 tons of stock on hand. Keep that in mind. The 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. No job is too small or too large for the skilled staff at Hector's Welding. Listen to this list of services. You can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment.
Wait a minute. You sound like you're doing an X-rated movie. Dozer buckets and ripper shanks? What is that? Are there really such things?
Well, Michael, there are really such things, and I know that you're not quite up to date on the mining community, but we do have classes at the university that would lead you right into that information, would
Madonna,
be beneficial.
You are smooth. Go ahead.
Anything for the program.
I got it. I thought it was great.
Back to ripper shanks. They do have heavy equipment repairs and modifications. Sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, screening plants, mining equipment fabrication, a specialty, riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. A specialty for truckers also is that they straighten low boys, high boys, and truck frames. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. Rush jobs are no problem at Hector's Welding. Anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. An all-new service, that's the flocculants. Gel Log is one of the new products supplied by Hector's. They have recently become the distributors. There's a free test kit available for miners. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaskan miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, phone 488-6432. That's 488-6432.
Okay, I want to get into mining. Tell me about mining. I'm excited. I know you got a guest you're hiding on us too.
I've got a guest, and in just a few minutes I'm going to introduce this guest. This particular guest is well known throughout the state of Alaska.
Uh-huh.
He's been a big help to many of the people in the mining industry. Mm-hmm. And in just two minutes, we're going to introduce this well-known figure in the Alaskan mining industry.
Uh-huh.
However, we have one little contest that is currently going on.
Yeah.
We should mention that to the people. And that, of course, is the contest surrounding our theme song. And people want to know about how they can enter the contest. Well, it's not too tough. All that we have to do is come up with a theme song that would be suitable for Alaska Gold Trails. How do we do it? Well, if you have an idea for a theme song, all you have to do is jot it down, preferably an instrumental, along with the band, send it to Alaska Gold Trails, care of KFAR Radio, P.O. Box 910, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99707. The songs that are submitted will be examined, and the most desirable three songs will be selected, and you, the audience, on Friday, October 23, will select by phone vote the theme song that will be used on Alaska Gold Trails. Now, we would like to have your suggestions no later than the 20th of October.
Yeah, that's about 7 or 8 days. No, that's less than that, 5 days from now.
Right. Yeah. Got to have them in so
big
we can
time
go
stuff. Give me two of the names that have been submitted so far. Two of the postcards that, just two of them.
Just.
And what do we have? Give us an example.
How would you like to have Pie in the Face Polka?
I love it.
You love that
one?
Yes.
Huh? And how about?
North to Alaska.
Well, that's not bad.
Not bad. There's a couple that have been submitted. We're looking for more right up until the 20th. We've got five days to go here.
Okay.
Now, one last, before we get into the guest, let's talk about Larsons.
Larsons. I'm going to talk about Nelda. Okay, we're going to talk about Larsons. What do you want to say? That little white house on the corner of 4th and Noble? I know that little white house. And inside is a wonderful place where they do nuggeted jewelry, and they've got all kinds of wonderful things there. And if you're looking for a wedding band, that's the place to go. And they got a selection. And Nelda knows her stuff over at Larsons. That's right in the corner of 4th and Noble Street. That is Larsons Jewelers, and they do, you know what they do, which is a kick? They do custom jewelry. If you see something that's stock, in the stock, and you say, it's not quite what I want, well, they can fix it for you. So when you think about jewelry, you think about quality. And when you want quality, you think about Larsons Jewelers. And you can rely on quality and originality from Larsons Jewelers, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larsons Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer a full jewelry and goldsmithing service. And that means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, earrings, and pendants in a design of your choice, including nuggeted jewelry. Larsons can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. So if you need repair work done, well, Larsons can do that too. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. And when you walk into their store, you won't be intimidated by high-pressure salesmen. I take offense to that. I like to be intimidated by high-pressure salesmen. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they have a new glass etchings and an engraving service. Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques to be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. And for safety and for your safety and peace of mind, Larson's is a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. You can ask Perry Wally to get locked the keys in the car this morning. So just remember, Larson's can, located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 on Saturdays. You can visit there today. 456-4141. Ask for Nelda.
We're ready for our guest.
We're ready. Now, Mr. Madonna, I'm going to do something that I hope throws you into a total panic. Go ahead and introduce him. I'll see you in 5 minutes.
Thank you, Michael. My guest this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Ernie Wolf. I met Dr. Ernie Wolf when I first came to the University of Alaska in pursuit of a Master of Science degree, and it was Dr. Ernie Wolf who helped me and a whole score of other students in getting settled in here at the University of Alaska. Ernie was professor at the University of Alaska at that time and director of the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory. How are you today, Ernie?
Oh, just fine, Jim.
Well, Ernie, we've got you here, and of course our show deals with Alaska, past, present, and future, and what we'd like to do here is perhaps find out just how you happened to come to Alaska and the sequence of events that attracted you here.
Well, let's see, like a lot of other young fellas at that time, which was 1938, we were trying to put up with something called a depression. It seemed like it had gone on for all of my life. It hadn't really, but it had gone on long enough so that it was making life unpleasant, and we thought that perhaps somewhere far away might have a better opportunity, so Alaska was about as far as we could get. And I scrounged up all the money I could get and took a train from northern Minnesota across, finally ending up at Prince Rupert, and then got one of the, I think it was Canadian National ships in the Juneau. It didn't take but a week to tell me that Juneau was no place for a fellow from the Midwest. It rained continually for that week. I don't think it let up for 1 minute. So I caught the SS Aleutian for Valdez. And I think I was on the Gulf on the longest day of the year, which would put me into Valdez towards the end of June. And the Valdez Trail, or the Richardson Highway, was not kept open all winter, so the trucks of that era were just going back and forth all the time. So I'd been on that steamship. I talked to a lot of fellows from Alaska, and they said, just go along the dock there and find somebody that's loading up for Fairbanks, and tell them you want to go to Fairbanks. The going rate is $5 in steerage, that was with the load, or $10 in the cab. So I did that, and
you got to ride in the cab.
I got to ride in the cab. I got a special rate. I rode the cab for $5, and I ran into a fella going north, and it turned out to be Pete Smith, who many of you will remember as a wood dealer at that time and miner. So we went on up, and I asked him if he knew where there was a place called Fox Farm, and he did. It was 50 miles south of Fairbanks on the road, and there were two fellas there from northern Minnesota. They were trappers, and we got in there about 6 o'clock in the morning, and he let me off, and I ran up to the door of the shack, and They were there all right, so I went the rest of the way in with them, and they showed me a little bit of the town, and then I was on my own.
What was Fairbanks like in those days, Ernie?
Well, it was the dredging operations were booming. I think the town had about 3,500 people, or the surrounding areas did. It was pretty much halfway between the real early days and what we have now, although all the buildings were of wood, except I think there was one concrete building in town at the time, and that was the Empress Theater, right in the middle of the main block of 2nd Avenue. But there were just wooden structures scattered around, and then the main office of what's now Alaska Gold is a concrete block structure on Illinois Street.
That structure's still there, isn't it?
The structure is still there, and it still looks like a pretty good building, but it hasn't been occupied for a very long time. I think it belongs to the Golden Valley Electric people. I've been told it would take a lot of money to bring it up to modern standards.
What was that year that you arrived again, Ernie?
1938.
Mm-hmm. How many dredges were operating in the Fairbanks area at that time?
Oh, I think there were 7. I'd have to figure them up again, but the next one, the last one to be put in service, was Dredge 10 at Cripple Creek, and that was built the next year, or finished the next year.
Were the dredges different sizes, Ernie? Were they all the same size?
No, a dredge is rated by cubic foot bucket capacity, and which of course can be converted into yards pretty easily. The smallest dredge was the Pedro dredge up at the head of the Pedro. Well, it was on Pedro Creek, and that's the one that you take to go over Cleary Summit. The road goes on up there. The biggest one was 10 cubic foot, and that was at Chattanooga. And then when they got the Cripple dredge online, well, that was also a 10 cubic foot dredge.
How deep were these dredges capable of digging? You have an idea on that?
Well, they varied. Somebody may want to correct me on this afterwards, but I think about 100 feet for the Chattanooga dredge, and about the same for the Cripple dredge when that finally got going. They had to strip. Maybe the Cripple dredge didn't have to dig that deep. They stripped 100 feet of muck off of that area, and then they had to strip quite a bit of barren gravel, and that was done with a big drag line. It was the biggest, one of the biggest in the country at that time. You still see it out there.
Well, what are the basic components of those dredges, and how do they work, Ernie? Can you kind of give us an idea?
The dredge floats on a barge, and it has what they call a ladder going down off the front or the bow. They use somewhat nautical terminology on a dredge: port and starboard, bow and stern, and that sort of thing. And there's a continuous bucket line turning on the front of the dredge then, and this carries material continuously up and dumps it into a hopper, and from there it goes to a screen, a circular screen called a hopper, and it's thoroughly washed there. The oversized material goes on out and drops onto another endless belt that's called a stacker, and that piles that out behind. The undersize drops into a series of sluice boxes called the tables, and the tailings from that, of course, gold has about a 10-to-1 ratio with sand for settling. And it drops out very rapidly, and then the light stuff goes on out the tail sluices and drops out behind the dredge. And it's some of that sand is the bane of a winchman. It keeps crowding against the stern and they have all kinds of trouble, but a dredge is still about the most efficient gold digging machine there is.
Well, you had, when you arrived in Alaska, then there were 7 dredges operating in the area of Fairbanks. And did you go to work on the dredges, or where did you, what did you do when you arrived in Fairbanks?
No, I didn't go to work on the dredges. I guess I would have liked to, but a fellow had to take whatever was available, and I went to work on the railroad just to try to get a grub stake.
What did you do there?
Oh, what does anybody do on the...
Oh, just a minute, Ernie. We've got a call for you here.
Oh, all right.
Hello, this is Jim. You're on the air.
Yes, I have an answer to a question on the Michael Dresser show.
Sure.
For the ships, were the Alice and Weir?
No, close, but we're not quite on target there.
Yeah, okay.
And thank you for the call.
Okay.
Ernie, let's take a break here and talk about Fairbanks Boot and Shoe. That's Ernie and Teddy Hannum, who own the Fairbanks Boot and Shoe Repair. They're located right next door to Jack Randolph Insurance Company on College Road. I overheard the other day that there's nothing that they can't do to a boot and shoe. They've been in business in the Fairbanks area for 7 years. Originally, they were located behind Foodland before moving to their new location on College Road. So stop in and visit Ernie and Teddy and see what they have to offer. Gentlemen, thinking about a gift for your wife, how about a custom-made ladies' purse? Teddy says that if you place your order now, it will be ready in time for Christmas. Customers say that Ernie and Teddy are miracle workers when it comes to boot and shoe repair, whether it be Western boots, work boots, hiking boots, dress shoes, or ladies' boots. And get this, folks, shoes of just any kind. The folks at Fairbanks Boot and Shoe Repair can do it all. They're willing to try something different. And it only takes 3 to 4 days for basic repairs. And ladies, if you have a closet full of shoes that you can't wear because the heels are broken, well, they can fix those too. But it doesn't end there. Fairbanks Boot and Shoe Repair can even repair that old worn-out saddle, harness, that's dog team harness, and all sorts of tack. With 15 years of experience, the gang at Fairbanks Boot and Shoe Repair can do just about anything when it comes to leather. That's Fairbanks Boot and Shoe Repair, located next to Jack Randolph Insurance on College Road. Open from 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, and from 10 to 1 p.m. on Saturdays, except for the last Saturday of each month. Their fast and friendly service will keep you coming back. Give them a call at 456-8033. Remember, there's nothing they can't do to a boot or a shoe. We have another call here. Hello, this is Jim. You're on the air.
Yeah, was that first ship the SS Portman, then the SS Excelsior, and the Humboldt?
It's exactly. The first ship
was the SS Portman.
And the second?
The SS Excelsior, and the third was the Humboldt.
Okay. The answers to the two ships, the Excelsior arrived in San Francisco on July 15th, 1897, and 2 days later, the Portland docked in Seattle. You've got it. What's your name?
George Schreiner.
George Schreiner. Can you spell your last name for us, George?
S-H-R-I-N-E-R.
S-H-R-I-N-E-R.
Yep.
George, you've just won dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike. You know where it's at? Across the street from the News Miner?
Not really.
You know where the News Miner is?
Yeah.
There by the railroad station?
Yeah.
It's just right across the street by the Big Eye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, George. Well, we have a winner to our contest. And thanks to George for giving us that information. Okay, Ernie, you've just gone to work on the railroad, have you?
Well, yeah. You had to do something, and the railroad was hiring, so I went out and worked for a couple of months, I guess. And it was starting to get dark and cold, and it was going to be over pretty quick. And actually, the mining season was going to be over, so there wasn't much point in trying to get another job in the mines. So we were coming in on the railroad. one Saturday night, and an old timer there pointed up on the hill. He said, "There's a school of mines." So that's what I did. I dropped from I left that little job on the railroad and enrolled in the school of mines that fall. In those days, you could get an education pretty cheap. Some of the fellows even, well, there were lots of rabbits in those days, and there were plenty of woods around the college. Some of the fellows built what they call yurches. They were simply poles and moss piled up, and in the wintertime they were pretty comfortable because they're kind of damp and mosquito-y in the summer, but in the wintertime they were all right. We were lucky. Dr. Bunnell, who was the president of the university at the time, handed a guy that got there a day or two before me, he handed him a hammer and said, "Go down and pull a hasp off an old cabin down here, move in." Well, I was looking around for something like that, and I saw this fella coming out of that cabin, and he said, "Well, might as well move in here," which I did, and we had a place to stay. We rustled up a few utensils, and there was an old stove in the cabin, which we replaced a little bit later, and there was wood in the woods around there, so we had the heat and a way to cook, and about all we had to buy that fall was a Coleman lantern and a few things like that, and then the books and the tuition, of course, at the university. I can still remember that. It was $56 for books, fees and tuition, which was quite a fortune in those days, but I had it from working on the railroad.
Tell me, and the audience, about Bunnell. Ernie, what was Bunnell like?
Bunnell, I think, was a remarkable man. He was, he had been a federal judge. He had learned law, as they all did in those days, by reading law and working as a law clerk in various places in Alaska. He had graduated from Bucknell with an education in the classics, Greek and Latin and that sort of thing. But of course, by the time I met him, he was an ex-judge and a lawyer and an educator. And he believed that it was possible to start a college in the wilderness that far north, and he pushed it with all the legislators he knew in the territorial legislature, and they finally got the appropriations, and they built a building, and he held it together for his whole lifetime. He was the moving force there. People like me, they'd say he'd do anything to get a student. Well, it wasn't quite that. He liked to help young people too. And as we got into the thing, they had a little loan fund, and we could borrow some money from these loan funds, but we had to have a signer, a co-signer, and Dr. Bunnell, or they called him Judge Bunnell too, he was the co-signer for any of these fellas. He was a benefactor to all of us. He had a terrible temper, and a lot of people didn't like him. I didn't like him at times when I was on the receiving end of the temper, but then generally he was quite a man.
How long did you attend the University of Alaska then, that first
year? Yeah, I went to school that year, and by that spring I was pretty well broke, and I had borrowed some money. Of course, he'd also supplied us with jobs cutting wood. He owned all the surrounding country there, that would be the flats down below the college now. And I stayed there that year, and then the next summer I got a job with something that was a newly organized something called the Territorial Department of Mines. And it was a pretty good job for a young fellow, because we traveled around the different mining districts of the interior. The territorial mining engineer was supposed to keep track of what was going on in the mines, and he also had an experimental geophysical prospecting program going. So I was able to see quite a bit of the interior, alive and good, and at that time they were just getting ready to build the dams. Most of you know that there's a big reservoir there, and they built that, started that dam that summer. And I saw the Circle District, the Fairbanks District, and I actually worked for him pretty well into the winter, and we wound up the office work. So I laid out, I didn't go to school that year, tried to get enough money ahead to go the next year, which I did. Graduated in 41, just as the war was heating up.
By the way, folks, if you'd like to have a question for Ernie, why don't you give us a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. 479-TALK. Let's talk about Gold Nugget Taxi for just a minute. They are big supporters of the mining community in Alaska. And here's what they say. Let's support the miners and Alaska. Let's support the gold miners by taking Gold Nugget Cab at 451 Taxi, the nicest cabs in town. Let's cut the baloney and the red tape. Allow the miners to work. I bet you they can find those golden nuggets. If you want to help, then next time you need a cab, take a Golden Nugget Taxi at 451 Taxi. Remember, Gold Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Support the gold miners of Alaska. With interest rates going up, the rates of Gold Nugget Taxi are very reasonable. Remember, let's find those golden nuggets at 451-TAXI. That's 451-TAXI. Together, we can support the future of Alaska. And we have a call. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
Yes, say, I hear a lot about gold mining in Alaska, and particularly in the interior, and especially right now when we have what some call a downed economy. What kind of a future, if all the EPA rules were modified so that mining could develop as it might in the state, what kind of an employment base are we looking at in the interior? Is there an extensive reality for employment in gold mining in numbers?
Yeah, well, Jim, I'll try to, I can't answer it, but we can do a little...
This is one of those future questions.
Well, yeah, well, we keep hearing that this is the answer for our economy up here. My impression has always been the gold claims have been family businesses, you know, family owned, and I haven't really known anybody who's been employed in mining as such, so I'd just like to, you know, extrapolate that information. And what kind of employment base is there if all these rules were removed?
Well, I'll take that one.
Okay, Ernie. Cheers.
You'd have to know a little bit about the history of mining in Alaska. The people you've known have been small miners.
Mm-hmm.
But things started out in 1902 here, and there was hand mining, and then it dropped off, and things were pretty depressed even in those days. And in 1924, the Fairbanks Exploration Department of the United States Smelting, Mining, and Refining consolidated all the claims here, and in up until the 50s and then early 60s, big mining on the dredges were the going mode of operation. So it hasn't always been small miners.
Uh-huh.
The small miners really came into their own. Well, there were a lot of them during the 30s when the price of gold went up, but that's really all we have now. That's right. As far as placer mining goes, but I'm looking, and the industry is looking toward big things in new types of what they call lode mining, gold mining. And Esther Dome now has two operations. They're not big, but they employ a number of people. We have high hopes for the other end of the district, the west end, which is the Clary Summit area. We're looking for disseminated gold there that could make a large base. Now, as far as numbers go, we might just try to compare it. The oil boom is over. It looks to me like hard rock minerals for Alaska are what we have to look forward to, and I don't know that they would supply all the employment that we have now, but I think we're looking at several thousand people working throughout the district, mm-hmm. and throughout Alaska, not just this district.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was mainly my question. I was just looking in terms of what kinds of outlook do we have. You know, I'd like to see the mining be freed and opened up, but I wasn't sure that it was really going to make a significant impact on the unemployment situation.
Well, we've got right now, you hit the nail on the head about all these regulations, but right now we have had 2,000 to 2,500 seasonally employed people throughout Alaska.
And yeah, now that's seasonally. That was the other point. This is not really full-time employment when you talk about mining, is it?
Oh, it will be. When we get the some of these hard rock deposits operating. It'll make quite a difference.
What kind of a time frame do you anticipate at the present rate?
I would say if all of the things you wished for there, we get rid of all these people, maybe 5 years.
Guys, I hate to do this to you, but thank you. And as a matter of fact, all the rest of the lines are going too, and let's do this. And we'll just about get ready to conclude. But by the way, where do you go for the best service in town for your auto, your light truck, your motorhome, or your big rig? Gabe's Truck and Auto. You knew that. Well, as a matter of fact, that's not just our opinion here, but last year the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award. That's the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe has two large shops, 8 mechanics on hand to serve you, and you get fast and courteous service and have your vehicle back really fast. And with his full line of services, Gabe's Truck and Auto is your one-stop shopping center. So that's over 25 years experience they've had. Gabe is the one for all of your vehicle needs. And you can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located right off of Van Horn Road, right near Metro Field. Family-owned and operated, Robert and Charlene Johnson and son James, located in Fairbanks at 285 Alta Way, is Arctic Spring. That's right, 6,000 square feet manufacturing plant, manufacturing leaf springs, U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment. Leaf springs manufactured and reconditioned for use on snow machines, trucks, heavy equipment, and aircraft. Two heat treat ovens, and they got it all. Arctic Spring, 285 Alta Way, 451-8612.
B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. You can get anything at B&L Pawn Shop. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal.
B&L Pawn, and we got to go. Jim Madonna, I'm going to say thanks to you. You can say thanks to Ernie.
Thank you, Ernie. Thanks for the show.
We'll see you
next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Dynamite. See you guys later, and we're going right into the ABC News. This is Michael Dresser, KFAR Radio, broadcasting from Fairbanks.
Very effective at just stripping that rock out of there. What they want to do is make enough room for one of the paramedics to climb up on his back, and in effect...